listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when you turn right, but you turn all the way.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad I'm here, and I'm glad we're all together with our fabulous guest today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I welcome you to this beautiful conversation that we're going to have. And so I'll start it off by asking our very special guest, please introduce yourself to all of our friends.
Hi, my name is Meg Mesha. I am a homeschooling mom in Southern California, and I started the Kind and Curious Co-op, as well as a still coveting marketplace.
Wonderful. Well, I admire and respect the work that you do very much, and so I'm very grateful to have this conversation with you today. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much.
There's so many wonderful things that you're doing. And so I'll ask you, first and foremost, how can we do our holiday shopping or any other shopping with your marketplace?
So the Slow Coveting Marketplace is a website. It has all of the members of the COVID Cautious community have mostly come together on Facebook, but there's a few members who aren't on Facebook, and they either add their page as a business, add their business as a goods or a service, and we have a page for each. And then we also have a page special for the holidays that people were able to share some specific things that they have, their favorite products, and then the prices for those, so that you can scroll through and easily see, what's available.
And how would our friends find the Still Coveting Marketplace?
The link is a Google site. It's sites.google.com/StillCo Marketplace. And StillCo is spelled STILLCO.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for all the work you're doing to help all of us to share our goods and services and strengthen our community economically. How did you decide on the idea to have a Still Coveting Marketplace?
So it was kind of a combination of things. I have been involved in the Still Coveting community for a little over a year, I guess, and I've done a lot of craft nights. Mm-hmm. And the people who come to the craft nights, we've been talking for a while about, you know, how can we buy each other stuff and support each other, and we should really do some kind of website. And then in spring, I launched a small business, and it was just kind of like a weird, lonely experience doing it as a COVIDer. And so it really just got me thinking about, like, you know, how can we, all of us with businesses, come together and support each other and be more of a community. And so then it was born.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's wonderful, and I thank you for it. It is a great idea and certainly a fantastic way to connect, but also to support what still coveting community people are doing. What does it mean when I say still coveting? What does that mean to you?
So there's a pretty big range of people who are still coveting. To me, it means that when you make a decision about interacting with society, you think about the spread of COVID. Mm-hmm. And everybody has different things they need to do, people they need to consider. And, you know, however they need to get through life, if they're thinking about, you know, how can I do this in a way that minimizes the spread of COVID, either by using air filters or wearing masks or keeping distance, trying to do as little contact with people outside of their bubble as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's still coveting to me.
One of the things that we are still coveting family as well, and one of the things I notice about all of your fabulous activities is that they help us to thrive in the still coveting community. What do you hope that still coveting marketplace will do for the COVID safe community?
Yeah, so that's a big part of why I do stuff like the marketplace, just to make it easier for other families who, you know, every day when you're making these decisions about how to support your family and during a pandemic, it's hard to keep going with it. And if I can do things like make that a little bit easier for somebody or give them some much needed community and, you know, just feeling like they're not alone in this, that other people are going through it too. And we can all sort of share our businesses with each other and share what we've learned and, you know, hopefully make it a nice networking place. Something I think a lot about is where my 10-year-old is going to be in 10 years. And, you know, part of it is creating community where she'll be welcome and she can have mentors and employers. And, you know, I think getting started with these virtual communities and getting industries together is an important part of helping people to continue to be safe and not give up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so thankful that you mentioned an incredibly important part of our still coveting communities. In fact, for a lot of us, the reason why we're doing this, and that's our children. And so what kinds of still coveting community and activities are you building for children and families?
So we have the still coveting marketplace, which I do hope will become, you know, something that young adults can think, it's easy to have a business and also be COVID safe, because we have so many wonderful examples of people doing that.
Yes.
And then I also have started the homeschool co-op, which is all virtual and all still coveting families, which is giving my kids, you know, connections to kids like them and to adults like them.
Right. I'm very excited about that. We're a homeschooling family also, and had always planned to be, you know, even though we're just at the beginning of the journey. we don't have really school-age children yet. But I'm really excited about your co-op and what it means. And when you think of your co-op, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Definitely community. I think, you know, it's important to have community for the kids and for them to have, you know, these educational and inspiring and exciting activities. But I think it's actually something that I do just as much for the adults so that they don't feel as alone in this journey. And they have, you know, people that they can look to and say, oh, like they're doing what we're doing. We're all on the same page. All of our kids are thriving and happy. And, you know, sometimes we get messages from outside the still coveting community that our kids can't possibly be thriving and happy and healthy. But if you look at these kids, they're the happiest, healthiest kids
that I've ever seen. So I think when adults join the group and see that, they think, okay, this is, I am doing the right thing. So it just makes it that much easier to continue doing it with all of the outside pressure to not.
Sure. Well, aside from COVID, and we'll go back to still COVIDing, but just beside COVID, aside from COVID, what are some of the benefits that you have seen in homeschooling?
I have three very neurodivergent kids. So homeschooling for us, I wasn't planning to homeschool so early. We started it in 2020 with the pandemic, and it's just been amazing for us. My kids all have very different learning styles. My son needs to be like in constant motion. So the fact that he can do his work and also be running around the house between lessons is like essential, I think, for him. And it's just been great. The kids, you know, we can learn what we want at our own pace. And it's been wonderful for our family. We love it.
That's beautiful. Actually, it's beyond beautiful. I had the pleasure of helping to homeschool my teenage nephews, but we're at the beginning of our actual journey. We're at the preschool stage, and I am loving it, absolutely loving it. And so I would love it if you would give some advice to those of us who are just starting out on the homeschool journey.
Oh, my advice would be just to have an open mind. I think, you know, my son and daughter are 13 months apart, so I had decided pretty early, oh, like, I'll just get them to the same grade level, and then we can do everything together as a family, and it will, you know, I had a vision for what it would look like for us, and that fell apart so quickly, because they just have very different styles, and, you know, it took me a little while to find each of their grooves, but now that I have, it's super easy, and they both, you know, love it. And I think if I, you know, if you go in there thinking, oh, I need to do all Common Core, get all the worksheets done, that might not work for your kid. If you go in there thinking, oh, I want to do Waldorf and just be in the woods all day and teach my kids this way, that might not be their style. But, you know, you find their style and a thing that works. And if you just keep an open mind, it'll happen for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. That's very encouraging. Very, very encouraging. And so now let's bring in the still COVIDing part of it. I think it's wonderful that children are able to find community in your co-op and so many of the virtual co-ops and online programs because of the situation with COVID. When you think of the impact of COVID and everything that comes with it, why is homeschooling especially beneficial for still COVIDing families?
Mostly just for health reasons. A lot of viruses are spread in schools. I do think it's unfortunate that not everybody has the privilege to be able to homeschool. But there are a lot of families in our community who have, you know, made it work, even if they're both working from home. There are now a ton of virtual school options and just ways of, you know, working with the community, working with co-ops like mine and others to share some of the burden of it, you know, do it in a way that keeps your kids healthy. Before COVID, we were sick, you know, once a month probably with kids being in school. And now the kids haven't been sick in years. It's been pretty wonderful.
Oh, it is. It is wonderful. And, you know, I think it's important sometimes because we have friends listening, 160 countries in all 50 states in the United States. And so people have different, you know, there's some people who don't know what still COVIDing is. There's some folks who don't know why it would be important to do that anymore. And so I thank you for answering that question because we have people with all different levels of experience with this listening, and sometimes it helps to frame the perspective of why we do what we do. So what are some of the highlights of your co-op that you enjoy or that makes you unique?
So our co-op is a little bit unique because every member is required to host at least one club, and clubs have to meet at least once a month.
So it really gets all of the parents sort of invested in the co-op. I think when it's a smaller group of parents running it, other parents can sort of forget or just not really appreciate the amount of work and, you know, what goes on behind the scenes. So I love that aspect of it, that everybody is just really involved. And then I don't know what else makes this really unique. It's a really great group of kids. People can host whatever they want. So we have everything from sort of like more academic book clubs to really creative bookmaking and crocheting kind of stuff to coding classes and chess and just, you know, Disney trivia, just a huge range of things. So parents can really find something for everyone.
I love it. That is unique, and it's incredibly special. You know, that kind of customized, student-led and interest-led education is not something that you'll find in a lot of schools, right? Children that are interested in something have an opportunity to discover it, and adults who might have an area of expertise or excellence can share it and transmit learning. And so I'm thinking, you know, I'm Indigenous, we're an Indigenous family, and that's how we did our learning, was through, you were around the elders. You know, if you showed a gift or a talent, you were very good at something, then we found the people in the community who were good at that, and you shadowed them, you followed them, you learned from them, you were mentored by them. And so I think this is very exciting and very unique and wonderful that your co-op exists and has the opportunity to have so much sharing and interchange. When you think about a co-op, what are some of the things that make a good one?
I think the co-op, you know, just like I was talking about with homeschooling style, I think flexibility and open-mindedness is important. If you come into it with really hard expectations for what you're going to get out of it, you know, that might take away from some of the joy and ease of how the co-op works. Let the kids, you know, like you were saying, like when the adults can teach something that they're passionate about and they enjoy showing up for, and you let the kids pick something that they enjoy showing up for, it's just fun for everyone. And, you know, we don't try to mold it into some sort of like something that's unpleasant for the kids or for the adults. It's, you know, hopefully just something that's rewarding for everybody.
There seems to be so much joy in what you're doing, right? The adults are enjoying themselves. The kids are enjoying themselves. Learning is actually fun. And how important is that, that children learn to love learning?
I think it's the most important thing. You know, I've always thought there's so much interesting stuff, and, you know, it is fun to learn. Learning is, you know, we all do it all the time. It's great to know new things. And schools traditionally, I think, have a way of just really sucking the joy out of learning and just turning it into a chore, making it something you have to feel anxious about. And, you know, learning should not be that way. Children enjoy, you know, having fun. And we try to make it fun and, you know, keep it light, keep it easy. And that's what helps them continue to enjoy learning and not get turned off and checked out.
Do you believe that it's important to learn how to learn?
Yes, I think that's another thing that is different about traditional schooling and, you know, what's possible in homeschooling and these other types of schools is, yeah, everyone has a different learning style, and figuring out the way that you like to consume information and the type of information you love to consume is super important for making it fun and joyful and not torture.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's incredibly important when we think about flourishing, that there are children who will go to certain schools, and there's some wonderful schools out there. We're not bashing schools. We're just talking about some different ideas. But there are children who start flourishing in a homeschool environment that just didn't in their particular classroom before. And so,
right, yes. I think there are plenty of kids who do flourish in traditional schools, and that is what works great for a lot of kids. But for sure, I think a lot of kids flourish
yes.
with something else.
Right. And, I mean, in our community, I see so many children who their teachers were writing them off, or, you know, and of course, as Indigenous people, we have a complicated relationship with education anyway. You know, historically, we have a challenging relationship with public schools and schools and things like that. But there's some wonderful ones out there and some great teachers who love what they're doing and administrators who are trying very hard, and there's students and families in every place that are doing a good job. But for those of us who've chosen to homeschool, one of the things I see immediately is children who were written off as behavior problems, or that were told that they weren't going to be able to learn. Their families were told, oh no, you know, they're falling behind and failing. And I see them in a homeschool environment suddenly just, you know, reading above grade level because they're reading about something they care about and are interested in reading, or they're being taught in their particular style, you know, their learning style, or their intelligence, their kind of intelligence is being recognized and valued. And so how, as homeschooling parents, can we best help our learners to learn?
For sure, on that note, I think, you know, I've worked in the public schools, and really hard to have a classroom of, you know, 25 to 30 different types of learners without making anyone feel, you know, shame or lose confidence about their learning style or their abilities. And when you're homeschooling, you know, it's easy. You don't have that comparison with other kids. Everything your kid does is great and amazing. And I think that's a huge part of, you know, getting them interested in learning more is they feel good about it.
Very well said. I think there's no substitute for love. Love never fails. And I think that at the root of it all is that no one will ever love our children like we do and have our complete focus on them. And so that really helps a great deal when we're thinking about homeschooling, that we are able then to focus on our children and don't have another classroom or another administrative thing that we have to do. So what, when you think about your homeschool journey and you think about the co-op and all of that, what would you say to someone who's considering homeschooling? Maybe they haven't stepped out into it yet, but they're considering it. What would you have to say to them?
I mean, I think it's a lot easier to give it a try than people think. Obviously, it depends on which country and which state you're in, but a lot of school districts will let you, you know, homeschool for 6 months or a year and come back. It's not like you have to, I think it can be pretty daunting to think about trying, you know, and I don't think it needs to be that way. I think there are so many supportive communities on Facebook and other social media where people have really done the work of figuring out how to get started, and they're happy to help. The homeschooling community is really just so nice, and everybody loves talking about it and sharing
experiences,
and you'll definitely find people who will, you know, help your journey. You're not alone in it.
That's a very important point, and I thank you for making it, because I find the homeschool community to just be so warm and welcoming and helpful, like genuinely helpful, and wanting to help and wanting to, you know, cheer each other on and all of that. So, you know, so many people, I think that they have to do it alone. You know, they just have to, they're just going to get a McGuffey reader and try to, you know, teach their children the one-room schoolhouse model or something. How can a co-op, what's a good reason for them to join a co-op?
I think finding a co-op is mostly important just to, you know, have that community of people where you can sort of see that all of your people are doing the same thing you're doing. And, you know, the children all have different strengths and weaknesses. And I think for most people, it makes it just feel less stressful. Like, am I doing the right thing? Do they know the right stuff? Is their handwriting awful? you know, they can see that their kid is actually on par with the rest of their peers, and other parents are having the same struggles and, you know, triumphs that they're having. And it's important to share all of that. And, you know, I think the education and lessons and all of that sort of is second priority to just creating connections with people.
Yes, that's wonderful. So as we create those connections, as we build community, what are some things that homeschool parents, relatives, caregivers, loved ones can do to be good members of a co-op, to be helpful and build up the co-op?
I think, like every relationship, communication is number one. Just keeping people in the loop on what's happening with your family if you're not able to make it all the time. Especially with the COVIDing community, a lot of the adults and a lot of the kids have health things that keep them from being able to attend regularly. That's fine. Like, we're totally flexible on that. And it just is helpful if, you know, you keep that communication open so that everyone's on the same page.
Great advice. Thank you for that insight. How would someone join your co-op? Or are you accepting members? Do you have an application process? Is it something that people can join?
Yeah. Our website is kind-curious.com. And we are currently, the wait list is open on the website. And we'll have applications for spring during December. So coming up in a few weeks.
Marvelous. That is wonderful. Well, we have to go to commercial, pay a few bills. But when we come back, I'm super excited to talk about your entrepreneurial journey and your company and what it means to you when I say, anyways, kids. So we'll be right back after these messages.
And save her, better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, they pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute! They told us we had it all, Jordan! Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Ruth. I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? Just clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? in rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun. 911, what is your emergency? Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
I'm so glad to be here and to be part of this beautiful conversation. It is marvelous to visit with our guest today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, my name is Magnacia. I am a homeschooling mom in Southern California and the owner and founder of Anyways, which is a kids' clothing company.
I love it. I love the name. And I especially love the name because of what it means. So when I say Anyways, what does that mean to you?
It means our clothes can all be worn anyways. all of our items can be worn inside out and backwards. So any way your child decides to get dressed is the right way.
That's fantastic. How did you come up with that idea?
So my kids always wore their clothes inside out and backwards when they were dressing themselves. They were very independent and very willful and very comfortable wearing things the quote-unquote wrong way. they don't like tags or seams. So that's, you know, how they were comfy. And every day getting the kids dressed, I would wish, you know, why can't it look a little more normal when it's on?
Yeah.
Because they have the neckline super high in the front and some sort of graphic on their back, and it just was very clearly obviously on the wrong way. And it didn't bother me much, but when we went out into public, every person would say, oh, your clothes are on wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so I was hoping that somebody else would come up with the business. But then my youngest turned 4, and so I had a little more time on my hands, and I wrote up a business plan for it and got some investors, and then it came to be.
Wow. Well, there's so much in what you're saying that's just delightful. I love the idea that you met your children right where they were and filled that need for them. That's a very caring and compassionate thing to do. So, for all the parents in the world, ever, how would they find your clothing company and perhaps order some?
So, our website is anyways.kids.com. We're having a huge end-of-year sale right now. So, everything, we just launched a black tank top that is sizes 2T, so like 2-year-old toddler, all the way through adult 5XL. Everything else on the website is still just 2T to 5T. So mostly we have toddler sizes.
Do they run big or do they run small?
We're gender neutral. So everything runs, I would say, a little bit bigger than traditional girl sizes. More toward fitting right for boys.
Okay.
And men.
Well, that's very helpful because, again, you know, holidays are coming. It's time to start shopping. So that makes me think of some folks who might need some. When you think about things like starting a business, I mean, you're successful. All of your clothing is beautiful. This is a wonderful product and a great idea. And it seems like, wow, this is just awesome. What's the biggest lesson you learned as an entrepreneur?
Everything definitely goes much slower than I expected.
Okay.
When I was first starting out, talking to manufacturers and all of that, it was very like, oh, sure, like we'll have this out in 8 to 10 weeks. Like, here's your quote. Like, everything seems to be moving quickly, but then, oh, by the time the samples were made and all of that, it probably took 2 years from when I became incorporated to when I actually launched.
Oh, wow.
My items in stock. So it was definitely more of a journey than I had expected.
Okay. So if you were giving advice to an entrepreneur who's just starting out, what would you want them to know?
Co-op probably is just to have an open mind. Things are not going to go as you expect. you know, it's tricky to have the confidence that you need and all of that to talk to investors like, oh, it's going great. sales are going to be great. Everything's perfect. And then on the other side of it is sort of the panic of like, oh, when's the next thing going to happen? And how do I get it done? And just, you know, you talk to a lot of different people and get rejected and things just take a little time.
I'm really glad you said that, because I think one of the things in the digital age, because apps are fast, or because, you know, it seems like a lot of things come to us very quickly, we still forget there are supply chains and human beings and lessons learned and shipping time and all of that. So I really appreciate you saying that, because I think sometimes people feel like they're failing in business when really all they're doing is waiting. Just waiting. It just takes some time to do this. You know, just, you know, there is no magic quick fix. Sometimes some things you just have to do, and it takes a little time to do them. What do you like best about Anyways?
Oh, I think that it has reached such a big group of the neurodivergent community and the autistic community, and they've just been so excited about it, and they feel like it was made specifically for them, and they just feel like gratitude, I think, that the product exists, and that just feels amazing.
Oh, yes. Congratulations. Congratulations on meeting a need. Congratulations on making people feel cared about and cared for. Congratulations on making mornings easier for many families. Thank you for caring about this, and thank you for taking the steps that needed to be done in order to bring it to people. And I think I need to say that to you about everything that you're doing. You know, thank you, the Still COVIDing Marketplace. Thank you for being a leader and creating that wonderful space. And thank you for Kind and Curious Co-op for caring enough about the community and the children to develop this and make it happen. And thank you for caring about clothing, getting dressed, you know, something that might have been a power struggle for many families now just doesn't have to be. Something that was a place that maybe people were frustrated and vexed every day, it don't have to be. And so I hope somebody has said thank you to you, but I really do want to say thank you so much for doing all these great things and for doing them so well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, here is my next question for you. I was just thinking about all of these great things and how when we start things, we have a dream of what it's going to be like, but now they're going full force. I mean, now, hey, we can order these great clothes and there's a terrific co-op and there's the marketplace. We can all do our shopping. What's your dream for these things now?
Oh, my dream for the marketplace is, and for the co-op, is mostly just to create these networks of people that are all, you know, we don't just care about COVID and that, we care about humans in general, climate change, all of the things that are happening in the world that impact everyday life that a lot of society kind of ignores and is just, you know, plugging their ears and pretending isn't happening. I think our community has sort of started to take action and, you know, really consider when they make decisions, you know, well, what is the climate going to be? Where can I do this that's safe for everyone? You know, how can I make this accessible for more people and more communities? And, you know, I think helping that grow, so that my children have a network of humans, having access to that, I think will make life easier and, you know, give them more opportunities when they grow up and they're adults.
Yes, I absolutely can see that, and I'm so grateful for it. One of the things I was thinking as you were talking about networks and caring and all of these wonderful things that we do, many things that happen throughout history changed people, changed cultures, changed history forever. What do you think is the biggest change that COVID has brought to the United States and people in it?
I mean, I think there's going to have to be a shift in the way that things are done. It's an illness that, you know, the immediate effects are can be very bad, but mostly they it's just a cold or flu-like symptoms. But the long-term effects of it can really cause some major disabilities that, you know, society isn't used to accommodating as many people that will probably be disabled by this event that, you know, they're used to. So hopefully there will be some sort of shift in the way that things are done where we can be a little bit safer and we can still love and care about each other without getting each other sick so much.
Yes. I wonder if there's going to have to be a paradigm shift in how we treat one another as well. Caring, community, connection are going to have to be more important than anything else, right? But, I don't know, eating brunch in a restaurant or whatever, it's going to have to
for
be more.
For sure. I think capitalism is winning right now. And, you know, when people realize that going out to eat and you know, doing all of these things for the economic benefit of a few is much less important than taking care of each other and recognizing that there are people in the world who can't access all of that because it's not safe for them. And it's much more important to make things safe for people than to just write them out.
Right. And I'm so thankful you think that way because it shows in all of the wonderful work that you're doing, you know, that at this point in time, it is important to be inclusive. It is important to care for the vulnerable. It is important to care for other people. And that is caring for ourselves because we're all interconnected. We're all intertwined. And so when we care for others, we are caring for ourselves. We build community. It feels to me like we are taking, that's the best thing we can do for ourselves and our family is to help and love and care about other people. And so when you think about your legacy from all of these things, like when your children grow up and they reminisce over the marketplace and Anyways and Kind and Curious, what do you hope they'll say about you?
I have never considered my legacy. I hope that they will just, you know, it will have been beneficial for them. I don't know if I care much about my legacy, to be honest. I just hope that some of this stuff does some good and that, you know, there are some good communities.
That's a great way to look at it, and I appreciate that so much. One of the questions I hear a lot when it comes to homeschool communities, when it comes to people who are still COVIDing, when it comes to just all kinds of vulnerable people, maybe, who have to make different decisions about their lives. What about socialization? I would love it if you would help us with that a little bit. How do we effectively socialize as part of a virtual co-op or virtual still COVIDing community? How do we make those interactions and connections deepen and real friendships?
One of my big things, I think, is that I think the socialization that happens in many schools for many people is not really good. It's a lot of shame and bullying and, you know, if you don't act a certain way, then it's really unpleasant and sometimes acting a certain way is unpleasant. And, you know, that's not ideal socialization for everyone. So I think a lot of children thrive on being spared from that type of socialization. And I think the connections that we've made virtually and that, you know, we've been able to find some COVID-safe people locally, who are willing to wear masks and be safe, you know, there's a lot. My kids are on calls pretty much all day chatting with their friends. So there is a lot of socialization. And it's good, healthy socialization. They lift each other up. They have fun. Mm-hmm. And they're not forced to socialize with anyone who makes them feel uncomfortable or makes them act a way that isn't comfortable for them. So I prefer that lifestyle. I don't think it's been a hurdle for us. I think it's been more of a blessing for us.
Yes, for us as well. I notice in all of the wonderful things that you do, there is this thread of peaceful, kind, uplifting socialization. Yes, the co-op brings kind and curious children and families together to encourage one another, educate one another, enlighten one another, uplift one another. And then I see the still coveting marketplace bringing people who are entrepreneurs and artists and have gifts and talents that they want to share together in a connected community. That's amazing. Your Anyways brings people healthy socialization with themselves. They get up in the morning and get dressed without frustration and vexation and go on about their day feeling good. And I would love to hear what you were just going to say.
I was going to say, yes, but anyways, it is not just with themselves, but, you know, when you can start your day telling your kids, like, oh, great job, you got dressed by yourself, you look great, we're ready to go, instead of every day, oh, you did it wrong, let me fix it. And then you're grabbing and pulling on your kid, and it's just, or, you know, it's not pleasant for neurotypical kids, but really for neurodivergent kids, that can throw off your whole day. And and yes, I was also going to say that our groups, I think, have a lot less emphasis on competition and sort of, you know, who's the best and social hierarchies, and more just about, you know, getting everyone on equal footing and being inclusive and making people feel like they belong and letting people make people feel like they belong, I think, is also just super great. And our kids, yeah, just have a really healthy outlook on life, I think.
Yes, I agree with that. And I thank you for saying it, because I think as an Indigenous person, one of the great blessings of our lives is that we're tribal. And somewhere along the line, we realized that we were not going to make it through this mean old world by ourselves. You know, someone would have to hunt, and someone would have to fish, and someone would have to gather, and someone would have to sing, and someone would have to pray, and someone would have to dance, and someone would have to take care of the children, and someone would have to fight, and someone would have, you know, we figured it out that we'd have to do this life together. And that's one of the beautiful aspects of the still coveting community, is I see that kind of care, mutual aid, and care for one another, and I don't see the competition. I see much more, if we're going to make it through this, a global pandemic and everything that comes with it, climate change, wars and rumors of wars, whatever it is, I see a community that's saying we have to do this together. We have to, you know, come together and help one another. And again, I just see examples of that. And I see it in the work that you're doing, and I see it in the community. And I think it's fantastic. It's something that I really appreciate about the still coveting community.
Same, yes. I think it's a great group.
Absolutely. What do you want us to know about you that we don't already know?
I don't know. You guys have learned a lot about me.
Well, it's our pleasure and our privilege. We're honored to know you. What are you passionate about beyond what we've already discussed?
I mean, most of my passion is with my kids. I just want to see them thrive and be happy and healthy. And all of these things that I've done is, you know, it starts with my passion for making my kids' lives as you know, easy and just carefree and fun as possible.
I thank you for that, because one of the challenging things about the COVID pandemic for those of us, I mean, who had pandemic era babies, right? Like, we literally, our children came into a world that's just ridiculous. You know, it's like, what? What's happening? And those of you who stepped up and made a place for us helped us tremendously. You know, the parents of very young children, we've been spending an awful lot of energy to try and keep everybody alive and healthy and find out what's really going on and make things as normal as possible and keep our children happy while we're doing all of this. And then there are folks like you who have built these safe spaces and done the work to give them to us. And I'm very grateful, and I know a lot of us are, and I thank you for it. If you were handing out a business card, not in person, unless you're working, but if you had a business card, what would it say?
The Anyways business card has my name, and our email is hello@anywayskids.com, and our little tagline is empowering children, simplifying life.
Mm, it's marvelous. And where can we find Anyways Kids? Where can we buy some for the children in our lives? I'm really excited that you're expanding sizes, too. That's wonderful that it will be able to grow with us.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, too. We're on anywayskids.com.
Okay. And what would your kind and curious business card say?
Kind and Curious is at www.kind-curious.com. And I think I would probably have my personal email on there, magnatius@gmail.com.
And now, what about the still coveting marketplace? You met someone for the first time, handed them a business card. What would it say?
Stilco Marketplace. I should really make a website address for us. It's sites.google.com/Stilco Marketplace. And that's also, you can email me, magnatius@gmail.com.
Perfect. Wonderful. If you had to describe yourself in just a couple of words, someone who had never met you, and all you could tell them was your name and three words about you, what would they be?
Oh, probably that I'm kind and curious and creative.
Oh, yes, absolutely true. I have loved every minute of this conversation. I'm so thankful we had this visit today, and I know you're very busy doing all kinds of delightful things. But I'm so thankful that you took time to be with us, because you are doing some tremendous work, and I'm so glad we got to spotlight it here.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I'm so thankful to our guest today, and I'm thankful to all of you who listen, who join us. Those of you who make this show possible, we are a labor of love, and we almost have a miracle every month just to bring you this show. And if you listen, if you share on social media, if you tell your friends, if you sponsor, if you donate, this network, everyone involved, we are so grateful to you, and we're grateful for you. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait until we're all together again for another dynamic conversation. Yeah.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the war forgave you.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray all, then pray all, and never look back once the world forgets.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.